but the same intent. Amen. I've heard ministers preach that God has to change His program from A to B. No, He never changes. Sometimes He changes methods. We have been in service where they blow the shofar, and everybody would shout because they heard the ram's horn. But they didn't know that God had changed it. So let's look today in the book of Numbers, chapter 10. And if you understand God's method and His intent is the same, never changes. The method changes. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the hour we're living in. And we have all saw changes, and most of them have been for the better or for our comfort. I don't know what it was for the betterment of. But if you'll turn in your Bible to the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, and God is still using His spokesman, and listen to what it's, the way it starts out. And you see, God's always talking, but He don't always talk through anybody. He's talking through His spokesman. Now that, I mean, I could go from there, but I don't want to get in on that. But everybody don't speak for God.
Amen.
And everybody doesn't sound the trumpets.
Right.
Now here he said that, moreover, our God spoke to Moses, saying what?
Make thee two trumpets of silver.
Two trumpets of silver. Now, you've got to understand when you use the word silver, You're not talking about just any kind of a metal. Neither was the tabernacle set upon any kind of metal. Even when God directed Moses to go into the wilderness or into the desert, he told him what kind of wood to cut down to make boards. And every tree was not qualified. It had to be the right thickness. Well, people don't understand when you just mentioned the tabernacle. Well, they've got a picture, you know, in their own mind. But God is a select God. You're not sitting on these seats today by accident. God has directed you here. And God has directed us to the scripture we're reading. It's all by a divine pattern. If you could only come to the realization that everything that happens to you is not by chance. It might appear to be bad, But it's God's dealing. People don't understand. They don't call me because it's not by chance. It might appear to be bad, but it's God's dealing. People don't understand. They don't call me because they say I don't care. But if they call me at the assembly and say I'm going through something, I say, good, I'll pray God to put more on you. Now, they don't understand why I say that. But see, God is developing character. And the only way God can develop character in you is to put you through some kind of affliction or test. And when He does that, you wring your hands and you, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, good. Trust Him. He's working everything out. Now, He said, I want you to make two trumpets out of silver. And then he really puts the restraint on it.
Of a whole piece.
One piece. Now, how in the name of God are you going to make two trumpets out of one piece? God's got to beat.
Amen.
He got to beat the devil out of you. Hey, glory to God. Now, that might sound a little rough to you. How many of you know God's been beating you? Huh? Oh, hallelujah. And He's going to continue to beat you until He gets the right sound.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so I quit complaining about the beating. And I'm praying, God, help me to give it the right sound.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Now, how many of you want to make the right sound so you can get out of the beating?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah. Hold your finger there in the 10th chapter of Numbers. I'm going on down in that chapter, but turn into 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. Now, you're going to have to know your Bible when you come to these kind of teachings, because you can't find the Old Testament over in the New unless you have a revelation and knowing the New Testament is the old revealed. All right, let's read it, the 8th verse, the 14th chapter.
For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound.
Now, here you go. If the trumpet, well, he has to beat the trumpet or beat the silver to make the trumpet. And he's doing it to get a certain sound. Well,
who shall,
if the trumpet give an uncertain sound,
who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Now, how many of you understand why the church world is in the fix it's in?
Yeah.
It's not hearing that certain sound.
Amen.
My God, they're hearing all kinds of sounds. You understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning? There has to be a certain sound. And you will never hear that sound unless you hear what the Spirit said to the church.
That's right.
And there's all kinds of sounds in the world today. And spatially, since we have come into the television arena, and my God, you've got Trinity, you've got Daystar, you've got Christian TV, and all of these networks now, and every last one of them are giving you a different sound. And once in a while, you can hear the right sound. And when you hear the right sound, it registers in your spirit. I mean, you must understand. You see, you're hearing more psychology today than you are spiritual word. Now, psychology is a teaching of man. Theology is a teaching of God. But there's one higher than theology. There is a Christology. Now, Christology is even greater than theology. Well, you see, the Apostle Paul had a revelation of the church, and the church is just a vehicle to bring you into the kingdom. You won't hear that preached on your television channels. Well, are you following me now? Come on, how many of you are hearing what I'm saying? There is a higher order that God is establishing in the church, in the world today.
Amen.
The church has become a total failure because it's not becoming a vehicle to bring you into the higher order. And that's all the way through the Bible. The Bible is just one story. But it's got many aspects to bring you into that higher dimension. And the higher dimension is, oh hallelujah, is to hear a certain sound. And God has changed the order in the 10th chapter from the shofar to the trumpet. And the two silver trumpets. And one of those silver trumpets was fulfilled when Jesus was born. The other one will be fulfilled when He returns to the earth the second time. Well, glory, hallelujah. Now, you've got to learn what these trumpets are for. Okay. Now let's go back to Numbers and see what the trumpets are going to do.
That thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. And
oh, glory to God. You use the trumpets, number one, for the calling of the assembly. In other words, you've got to know the sound to know what to do. Is that what you live?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that I'm talking, and maybe I am talking in riddles. I don't know. But I do understand that God has a certain sound to bring about a certain thing.
Amen.
The majority of Christians don't realize that.
Amen.
And so whenever you come in and begin to teach that, you feel like you're talking in tongues. Oh, glory to God. Now, I know I'm speaking to some bishops here. And let me tell you something. Titles don't mean a thing. They don't, honestly. What really means something is you having an understanding of the way God's doing and dealing in this hour. And I'm sorry to tell you, the majority of church folk don't know anything about the intent of God. So, when the trumpet sounds, it's sounding for what? Number one, the gathering of the assembly. Now he says there, let's read it. Read what he says.
That thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly.
Now use them. That's both of them. And then he begins to break it down.
And for the adjourning of the camps.
See, other words, if you use in them, it's for the calling of the assembly. And then, if you're using them, it's for the journey. Yes. Now, you're on a journey.
Yes.
You're on a journey. I don't know how far on the journey you are. Oh, glory to God. But I can tell you this. If you're not hearing the right sound, you're not too far on the journey. Oh, praise God. When Israel was camped around Jordan, and Jordan was overflowing its bank, Jordan is a type of death. You have never in your life experienced an hour like we're living in now, when we have so much death, drive-by shootings. Jordan is out of his banks again. And nobody wants to come into that flood. But God has spoke to a Joshua. Get the elders or the captains, the people that have been trained, their elders. Captains, that's what it means, the eldership, and an elder is a bishop. Go through the camps of Israel and command, give them a command. Now, command is not, I want you please to do this. And we have got so much, in America, it's a democratic, and our president's trying to make democratic rule over everywhere. He's trying to get in Iraq, trying to make them a free country, and they don't want to be free. We were in war in Vietnam and had to come out with a draw, no victory.
Man.
You cannot force this on people that don't want it.
Man.
And America cannot police the whole world. Well, glory. America rebelled against England for the tax of tea and so on. I ain't want to get in on this, but we made too many rabbit trails the way it is. But you've got to understand history before you can understand this word. And so many people don't want to know nothing about, well, we want to know the word. Well, if you want to know the word, you've got to know history. And if you know history, then you can understand the word.
Amen.
You can go to church and sit down and they can take a scripture. But they don't tell you why it's in the Word. They don't tell you the history of the Word. First place, they don't know it. But the sounding of them trumpets are for the gathering together of the people of God and for the journeying. Now, listen to what he said.
And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet...
Now, here's the key right here. If they blow but with one trumpet...
Then the princes...
Oh, there is a sound that are gathering... The princes are, and I've been trying to get this for over 50 years. I've been trying to get ministry to come together and discuss why they are preaching what they are preaching and see if they can prove what they are preaching. I haven't been able to do it, but I have been trying. And that's exactly what this word says. If they blow with one trumpet, glory to God. And neighbor, one trumpet has already been blown, and we need to get the princes together. We need to gather the ministry together and drill them until they know what they're saying.
Amen.
And then we can see, oh God, the 33rd chapter of Psalm, the 133rd chapter, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, hallelujah. And then he said, it's like the oil that run down Aaron's head. It's got to start at the head. The anointing comes down.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah. And how can you have the anointing on the head if you don't hear the sound of one trumpet that gathers the princes together, gathers the leaders together, and find out that we are sounding the same sound?
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. We are not running around over the country just to get healing. Just to get deliverance. Just to hear faith message. Well, pardon me. But everybody has their own desire. And they've got their own idea. And you have to give them the opportunity to express their idea. But then you've got to tell them it's not all in that. And so when you cross them, what happens? Well, I'll just take my ball and bat and go home. Well, hallelujah. And then so, I remember, oh, this has been years ago. I was the state overseer of a denomination. And I was gaining too much popularity. And the general overseer saw the handwriting on the wall. And so I was on the editorial board of Brother Madison Bozay from Chicago, Herald of Faith. Some of you might remember Brother Madison Bozay. He was a world traveler and a world missionary. And then I was on Faith Journal editorial board from James Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. And they brought charges against me. Now, you'll have to come off of these magazines as being one of the editors of it, contributing editor, or else we are going to turn you out of the denomination. And so they had the meeting in Barnett's show in Anderson, South Carolina, and tried me from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were taking votes, and they couldn't get enough of votes to turn me out because the ministers was leaning toward the sounding of one trumpet. And little before 6 o'clock, they tied, and I knew then that I was gone because the chairman, general overseer, was going to break the tie in favor of what they want. And so he said, I don't want to come against Brother McCurry, but said, I'm going to have to break the tie and I'm going to cast my vote against him. But we want you to know, Brother McCurry, we love you and we believe in you, and we want you to we're going to give you 30 days to make up your mind. I stood up immediately and said, Brother, we don't need 30 days. I'm going to quote you 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I sat down. It don't take 30 days to make your mind up if you heard the sound of one trumpet.
Amen.
I've heard the sound. Hallelujah. And I believe that we have got to come into a fellowship with all of God's people. But we're going to have that one sound of that trumpet and let the whole world hear what God's intent is. And God's intent is not just in a church. It's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And not only that, the kingdom, but His righteousness. And then all these things will be freely given unto you. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if you blow one trumpet, who's going to hear it? Princes, priests, the elders, the ones in charge. Well, glory to God. Brother and sister, let me tell you, wouldn't it be a glorious day if we could have the princes together, the elders together, and just, hallelujah, have a presbytery. Now you're going back to divine order. And divine order, and Brother Thompson had mentioned something here this morning around the table. He said, what the church needs is some pillars. You don't understand. He that overcometh, I'll make a pillar in the house of the Lord. We've got to have some overcomers in this day. And you've got to have something to overcome before you can overcome. And the majority of folks are so bunch of wimps. They can't endure nothing. and I just cannot stand and go to in a church and hear people whining and whimpering and complaining about what they're going through. My God, don't you know you've got to have something to overcome? And how in the world can you be an overcomer if you don't have something to get over?
Amen.
Oh, I know, Brother McCurry, you just hard-boiled. You don't care. You don't love folks. Yes, I love, but there's such a thing as a tough love.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My children, thank God they're all raised, and raising grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm no pushover. I just will not. Well, I'll go so far with everybody. But there is a stopping place.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
My baby boy, he's got two children, a boy and a girl, and sometimes they want to come in my room, and they get on my bed and go to jumping up and down. I said, listen, you are on my bed, and you're going to stop this jumping. Now you sit down there and behave like a human being. And my son would say, well, he's just a child. I said, yeah, but he's got to learn sometime or another. Bless
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
He ain't a bunch of cattle. Well, I don't want it. When my wife has two little old poodles, but I wouldn't allow that one of them stays with me. But I guarantee you, when they're with me, I say, you lay down there, and they lay down. Well, that's what they're for. But how many of you are getting the thought here? If you sound one trumpet, you're supposed to gather the prince. Now, how in the world can the prince come together if they don't know the sound? I'm just asking you. And how can you come together where you're supposed to be if you don't know the sounding of the trumpet? Now, this is a teaching that would take a year to finish all of what I'm talking about right now. But God is trying to show people. Well, read some more in that.
Then the princes, which are the heads of thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee.
With the blowing of one trumpet.
When you shall blow an alarm.
Oh, now here's another one.
Then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward.
Now, how many of you understand? You're right now back over in the book of Joel. And he tells you in the second chapter of Joel, the first chapter, he's explaining about the condition of the church. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, and all of that has eaten up and has divided the people of God. That's in chapter 1. Chapter 2 starts off, sound the trumpet.
Yes.
My God. Turn over to the book of Joel just a minute and let me show you where we live. You see, people don't understand. They don't know the connections of the Word of God. And the Bible is just one story with many different aspects of the same message.
Amen.
Praise God. You got Joel chapter 2.
Yeah.
And listen, in the numerology, 2 is the number of Christ.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion.
Blow ye the trumpet My God. Do you understand Zion? That's the city of David. Jerusalem is not Zion. Zion is the highest peak in Jerusalem. There are different degrees in the church. You could be in the church and never be in Zion. But thanks be to God, there is a Zion company. God's building up a Zion company. A company, oh, the law shall go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. I wish people could understand. They don't even know how to separate Jesus from Christ. Christ ain't Jesus' last name. And they can't separate Judah from Israel. They don't know. Well, I thought Judah and Israel was... Oh, my God. Judah and Benjamin stayed together. 10 tribes split off because Rehoboam wanted to be bigger and stronger than Solomon. Where my father chastised you with whips, I'm going to chastise you with scorpions and with... Jeroboam said to your tents, Israel, what have we got to do with David? They go to Samaria and establish their headquarters in Samaria. And then they were afraid they would come back down to Jerusalem and he would lose charge of them. And he said, I'm going to set up a priesthood. And he appointed priests. And just, my God, I want to tell you something. You can find these folks everywhere. Self-appointed. And don't even understand what God's doing in this hour. Sound the trumpet! Hallelujah. Blow the trumpet! And then he said, sound an alarm. Well, Where was this alarm supposed to be sounded?
In my holy mountain.
If there ever was a time the alarm needs to be sounded in the church, it's today. Well, how in the world, what do we need to sound the alarm for? Well, read on.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
How many of you believe we are in the last day? Come on, saints.
Amen.
You believe this is the last day? I believe it's the last hour of the last day. And I believe it's time that you begin to hear the alarm. And you had better begin to trim up the... Oh, God. The lamp wig needs to be trimmed. It's crusted over. It's not giving no light. It's not letting the light of God shine. And God is light. And if it ever was a time ministry need to allow the light of God to shine through them, it's time you sound the alarm and wake up these sleeping. Well, Lord, I don't want to get too personal, but I'm telling you the truth. I feel like sometimes grabbing a hold of saints and shaking them till their teeth rattles because they're so darn careless, lazy, wimps. Can't stand nothing. Well, I think I'll just go home. Well, go on home. Bless God, that's where you belong anyway. Oh, Brother McCurry. Yeah, Brother McCurry, I want you to know God's not interested in raising up a bunch of wimps. It's time that God had some men and some women that would know how to stand in this hour. Hallelujah. And quit babying people and quit petting and humoring them. Well, God is a God of love. He's a God of judgment, too. I know, Brother Oral Roberts, he says God's a good God. Yes, He is a good God. And He's good enough to know how to take you to the woodshed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't... I preach it down in Costa Rica, and the interpreter is, and I said, God wants to take you to the woodshed. He didn't know how to interpret that. And I said, well, God wants to break the curses. He said, curses. He didn't know what a curse was. But you see, you've got to know what you're talking about before you can even know how to talk. You've got to know what part of the country you're in before you know how to talk anyway. Well, hallelujah. And if you don't know that word, you're not going to know how to train individuals and bring them up and get them strong enough to be able to stand something. Hallelujah. When we have elders meeting and I let the elders discuss, you know, what God is saying to them, and when they tell me that, then I'm wanting to know how they're interpreting that. I'm not playing games, neighbor. This is a serious business with me. Well, I'm not after your popularity. I don't care what you think about me. Don't mean nothing. If you like me, all right. If you don't, it's still all right. Well, praise God. Woo! Pardon? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been on this road long enough to know where the curves are. And I've walked it long enough to know where the stumbling blocks are. Well, praise God. Now listen to what he said. Oh, glory to God. In this second chapter, you sound the trumpet. You sound the alarm. We still enjoy.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
Uh-huh.
A day of darkness and of gloominess.
If there has ever been a day of darkness and gloominess, it's the hour we live in. Now, if you realize what I'm saying here and connect the word to you reinterpret the scripture with the scripture. Then you see it's a day of darkness, okay? Then you come to Isaiah chapter 60 and you find where it said, arise. God's looking for somebody to get on higher ground and to be able to be a light in this darkness. And it all starts, bless your heart, with a silver trumpet. And a silver means redemption. And out of that redemption, God beats with one piece and makes two trumpets. And it takes some beating and beating and beating and forming to make a trumpet. And bless your heart, it don't happen overnight. Glory to God. Well, God's called me. Well, has He beat you? Do you know how to suffer? Hallelujah. Now, that's exactly what's wrong with the church world today. And they don't have any time for father ministry, no time for mature word of God. They want somebody to pet in the humor. And they're looking for a nursery maid. Oh, glory to God. Jesus, when he was here, he was preaching, and they asked him a question. In the 18th chapter of Matthew and verse 1, if you want to turn over there, and I'm not through with Numbers, I'm not through with Joel.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?"
Oh my God, how many of you understand that's going on right now? Who's the greatest? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for all of the big known ministry. But I'm finding the unknown ones are doing more good. Well,
hallelujah.
Elijah, you know, followed Samuel about the school of the prophets. And David had to run to Ramah, or the schoolhouse, to hide from Saul, but many people want to go back to school. Even though they're king, he had to run from Saul, go back to Ramoth, which was the schoolhouse. Well, glory. You might not have known that was. That was the place, school. That was school of the prophets. David ran there for safety. Praise God. I believe, well, that's just the way the Lord has led me. I believe in preparing places for folks to stay. Brother Joe Morris done that. And hotel bill, you have to pay your own food bill, and then you ain't got no money to give. Won't charge you for nothing, but I expect you to give in the offering.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, I have three elders here, and they'll tell you right now, I cut no ice. I'm not raising up a bunch of children. Oh, I don't mean everybody in our church is grown up. My God, we got whimpers and whiners, and they can't take nothing. If something goes wrong, I'm going through this. Well, hey, man, go through it. Go through it. We didn't come here to stay, no way. We're just going through. But Jesus, there whenever they said, "Who's the greatest?" Listen to what he said.
And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children."
You know what converted means? Means change, and when you change, you don't look the same. If you would convert this building here into an apartment building, it wouldn't be an assembly, it'd be different rooms. Well, Jesus is trying to show us something. Then he said another place, what will I liken the men of this generation? He said men now of this generation. They're not babies. But what can I liken them at? Oh, he said, I know. Children playing in the marketplace. Did you know the church has become a marketplace? Oh, they sell tapes. They're selling everything you can think about. It's a marketplace. Well, come to the last book of the Bible, and it says, and men will buy their merchandise no more. And when that day comes, these big cathedrals are going to empty up, and they'll make warehouses out of them, or whatever they can get out of them. I know big cathedrals right now that's having to rope off sections of the seats to get everybody up right on the front so it won't like look so bad on television. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Don't be so stupid that you believe everything you see and everything you hear. God is raising up a people today that's going to be able to face things as they are, hallelujah, and know the Word of God to prove what you do talk about. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. All right. Let's go back to Joel.
A day of clouds and a thick darkness.
Now, day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, I want you to know something. Just because it's dark don't mean God's not there. He tells Solomon, I dwell in the thick darkness. You mean God dwells? Yeah, but everywhere He goes, He is light. Not going to make light. He is light. All right.
As the morning spread.
Now this is what I love.
As the morning spread upon the mountains.
As the morning spreads upon the mountains.
A great people and a strong. They have not been ever
the
like.
Never the like. Never been a people like what God is raising up in this hour. Now I want to tell you something. If you're not on the mountaintop, you're not going to see the sun first. If you're in the valley, it might take you a half a day to get the sun to come over the mountain so it would light up where you're at. Everybody's not going to come into this light same time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a mountain boy, Sam. I know what, and a lot of folks, they, you know, they like to go to the mountain, but it ain't no thrill to me to go to the mountain. I was raised in them. Bless God, I don't care. I'd rather go down to the beach. Yeah, I like Myrtle Beach. And I like to get where the crowd is and the action's going on. It don't bother me. Hallelujah. So some folks love to go into the mountains where it's peaceful and quiet. And I like that a little bit, but not much. And I ain't going no, like nowhere over 3 or 4 days. I'm ready to go back home. But a great people.
They have not ever been the like,
and
neither.
There's never been one. Did you know you're in a crowd today? There's never been a crowd like the one you're in. Oh, you said, well, you had a crowd at Pentecost. Yeah, but Pentecost, my God, that's just the first fruit. Somebody was preaching the other day and said, well, God birthed the church on the day of Pentecost. And I said, my God, don't even know what Pentecost was about. Pentecost means God took it out of the hands of man, put it back in the Holy Spirit. Man is still trying to run it. That man is still trying to run the church and set up the orders and do all of this. If the Holy Spirit don't do it, it ain't going to be done right.
Amen.
Well, all right, we'll go on.
Neither shall be any more after it, even of the years of many generations.
Did you understand that? We're in something that ain't nothing like it, and it's going to take many, many generations. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
For God to change the order that He's setting up now. He set up a new order when He called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, and when the forest serpents bit people and they were dying, God told Moses, make a brazen serpent, set it up, and they carried that thing for 700 years. And when Hezekiah come along, he broke it and said, it's just another piece of brass. I'm telling you now, God's going to break some of these traditions that the church world has followed and been worshiping for 700 years and year after year and year. But God's fixing to crush it. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's coming a ministry that's going to pull off the boards of the church door and invite folks back in the house of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And without coming into a certain rid. Praise God. Praise God. I've been in two outpourings of the Spirit. I'm talking about just like that. God would bring folks from all over the country. And we didn't have no time for anything. They had to set guards around my motel room where I could get a few hours rest. And the very minute I walked out of that room, hundreds of people would come around me. I didn't even have time to eat. They were asking questions and asking this and asking that. And hundreds and hundreds, even in the thousands of people, were so hungry. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, saint, we are about to come into another visitation just like it, only it's going to be greater. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Get ready, Brother Andrew. You might be just having a few people now, but when that outpouring comes, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to see what God's intent is. Now, I know this sounds crazy. I know it does. But I tell them at home, I said, the time will come that this whole yard's going to be filled with people. And some of the elders will have to stand at the door. Some will be baptizing folks. Some will be laying hands on them for the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Get ready, saints. I'm talking about what God is just in the very any moment. Any moment. Any moment. It can happen. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling such a Holy Ghost anointing here this morning. Hallelujah. That any moment, you're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that you've never even dreamed about. You never have. It hasn't even entered your mind. You can't even think big enough. And then you wonder, well, when will I ever get to move into my ministry? Number one, it ain't your ministry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Number one, it ain't your ministry. If it is, bless God, I hope you don't ever get in it. Is that all right, Bishop? I'm sick and tired of my ministry. You don't have no ministry. Thank God the Lord allowed to share His ministry. And people don't even, they don't even know, honestly. And I don't want to sound like I'm a know-it-all, because I don't. But I want to tell you one thing. I have read in that book where He descended first. He went to hell before He ever ascended. And He went to hell and got the keys off of the devil. And John said the last time he saw him, he had him on his side. Praise God. That's another area. But when He descended, then He ascended. And then before He went or left this earth, He gave gifts unto men. He divided His ministry. What He had upon this earth, He divided. And He divided it into five different measures. Is this what He did? Oh, glory to God. Now, I know Watchman Nee, and he was a great guy and a good writer, but he condensed the five to four. And listen, I know you can't pastor without being a teacher. But you can be a teacher and not be a pastor. Anybody ought to know that. And a Sunday school teacher is not the kind of teacher he talks about then. Listen to me. Oh, glory to God. And I've got good friends that I personally know, preach with them, and taught in the seminar or in the Bible school with them. Set up a headquarters and giving out cards now with apostles on them. I was talking in a truck stop with a brother. He said, "I'm an apostle." I said, "You are?" "Yeah, yeah, let me show you my card." I said, "How many churches have you established?" "Oh, I have never established no church." I said, "How can you be an apostle and you had never started a church?" "Well, it's on my card." Well, glory to God, hallelujah. But Jesus divided His ministry and gave gifts unto men. And these ministries is going to unite the body of Christ. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. And not only that, but He goes on to say these ministries was for the edifying or the equipping of the saints. Now, how in the world can you equip saints without these ministries? I don't care how many cards you've got, but if you don't have that impartation, you're never going to equip the saints of God. Praise the Lord. And without mature ministry, you can forget it. You've got to have mature ministry. Oh, glory to God. I know individuals today that's been called by the presbytery as an evangelist and have never have run a revival, and yet they want to separate themselves from the body of Christ. You'd better get a hold of yourself. You'd better learn that there's one trumpet sounding. When the next one sounds, oh glory to God, it's going to have a completion. Well, let's go back to Numbers just a minute. Time's running out on me, and I want to show you a few things here. These trumpets, how many of you understand silver is for redemption?
Yes.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
You know, the tikkons, or the two hands, was placed down in the sand on a silver foundation. And they were the ones that held the boards of the tabernacle up. It wouldn't waver, but then it had to have five rods. And oh, glory to God. I'm trying to show you God's complete pattern, and that middle rod went through, all the way through the boards. Now, it's the only one that went through the boards. Well, I'm here to tell you, and the other two, or other four, went crossways. Well, glory. And these boards had to be 18 inches wide. And you cannot get 18 inches without using two numbers. Numerology, two, is the number of Christ. You'll never come into completion without this Christ. And Christology is not being taught today the way it should be. And when God begins to set up, oh, hallelujah, a brother down in Tarpon Springs, Florida, is building. Of course, you know, people get on gimmicks, and they're reproducing the tabernacle in the wilderness, but they'll never reproduce the exact copy of it. There ain't enough of gold for them to beat the gold and the silver and really get it perfect. Well, hallelujah. Now, so he needs millions of dollars, but millions of dollars is not going to reproduce the exact tabernacle that Moses. God said to him, "See that you build it according to the pattern." Now, I'm here to tell you the pattern of the church. You cannot duplicate. He tells you that there has to be a certified a pharmacy has got to mix this all, and if you try to reproduce it, that's the problem. People are trying to reproduce what God has set out in His Word. You can't do it. It's got to be the real thing, or else you've got just a substitute. Oh, glory to God. They read the word unity, and they're trying to gather all the denominations together. Don't you know they are in there just waiting for their opportunity to tell you their doctrine and their belief? God, that's all they're with you for, is to try to convert you into their scheme. I ain't interested in it. Oh, I'd love to have fellowship with the ministry, but they ain't going to fool with me because they know I'm not going to change my stand on the Word. Now, I will believe you if you will prove me wrong with the Word, but you don't come over here and try to change me without giving me foundation of the Word of God. I ain't believing you. Well, hallelujah. I don't know it all, but I'm open for it all. And if you know more than I do, please enlighten me in something more. But if I have never heard it, I've never read it, you're going to have to tell me where you got it. I believe that now. I heard a preacher preaching at a convention one time. He said Jericho was the city of the moon. I went to him immediately and said, "Where did you get that? I have never heard that. I have never read that. Where did you get it?" "Well, it's in my notes." I said, "I ain't interested in your stinking notes. Where did you get it?" Went over to a friend of mine, Brother Varner. He said, "Well, it's in my notes." I said, "Brother, I ain't interested in your notes. Where did you get it?" Well, they hunted for 2 days and they finally found it. And they said, "We found it." "Where did you find it?" "In footnotes of the Newbery Bible." I said, "My God, next time you preach that, you tell them where you got it." That's just like preaching Schofield's notes. I ain't interested in Schofield's notes. Or Larkin, or Darby either. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. I know you. I said, "Well, they got some good truth." "Yeah, where did they get it?" Schofield was in before the judge 3 times for nun support. The Bible said a man won't support his own family, denied the faith worse than infidel. And yet they've got universities after him. Don't mean nothing to me. I don't care how many degrees you've got. What is the degree? Cody was telling me at supper last night. If you have 3 degrees, how many are you short? Come on. How many do you still like to make a complete circle? Oh, hallelujah. Well, you could have them lined up on this wall and still be missing it. Praise God. I was at a convention, thousands of people there, and the brother said, "We're going to introduce the speaker tonight." And he brought out a man there, and I said, "My God." He had Brogans on and overhaul, Bill Overhauls. He's from Ozark Mountain down in Arkansas. Cross-eyed him. And I said, "Great God, why didn't they get somebody that looked like something?" "Ah, come on. You the same way." That man got up there and he hadn't spoke but about 3 words, and I was on my face asking God to forgive me. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm just the type of individual who want to help somebody and bless somebody. And I went, got the brother, and I said, "Would you mind me taking you downtown, buying you a suit of clothes, dressing you up?" Well, he said, "That'd be great." I took him downtown, bought him a suit, dressed him up like individual would look. Come time for him to preach that night, he didn't show up. And they sent me down to his room, which, you know, we sleeping in the basement. I went down there and opened the door, and he's over there. "Tom, why?" I said, "Brother, what's the matter?" He said, "Brother Kurt, I can't wear this stuff." I said, "Get your overalls on, your brogans, and I'd be honored to walk down the aisle with you and escort you to the roster." Hallelujah. That night he hung us into the heavens. Oh, glory to God. Quit trying to copy somebody. Quit trying to dress somebody up the way you want them to dress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Cody and Brother Thompson, they knew Brother Joe Morris. He dressed so well, I'm telling you. He'd probably wear a pair of orange pants and a red sock and a blue sock. And I tell you, He would embarrass you. You may go into a fine hotel banqueting room dressed like that. And I said, "Joe, you got a sock on of a different guy." "I know, I got another pair just like it." But neighbor, let's learn. Hallelujah. When we come into the redemption of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And the one trumpet is sounded, and we're waiting on that certain sound. Oh, hallelujah. For the other trumpet to sound. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know exactly when it's going to sound, but I can tell you one thing. It's going to be at the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if he hasn't come on this September or October, you don't have to look for him until the next one. But he's going to sound, he's going to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's already appearing. He's appearing. Well, hallelujah. How many of you believe he's appearing? Well, now, that's not doing away with the literal coming of Christ. He is literally coming back to this earth. Oh, I'm not talking about coming down, you know, and they preach about a floating city or float around. No, I'm talking about coming down to this earth. Mount of Olives. Praise God, hallelujah. Your ideas, your opinion ain't worth nothing. But God has already changed the order, made two silver trumpets, and one of them has been blown, and the other one is, praise God, waiting on the body of Christ to hear the first one, to gather the princes, and gather the congregation. Hallelujah. Amen. Saints, hear me today and be open and hear what the redeemed voice of the Lord is saying. The trumpet is sounded. Blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Praise God. Well, thank God for the little bit of knowledge that God has given us. We don't have much. We don't need much. As long as we know Him, He knows it all. How many of you is acquainted with Him? How many of you are acquainted with Him? And if He made everything, He's all the one you need to know. Is that right or is that wrong? Well, glory to God. We'll stand and praise the Lord. And have a break and come back in a minute. You hear some more of the Word. Amen. Thank God for all the rabbit grave. Hallelujah.